WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is our daughter. A simple statement in the way Linda Brown and her husband introduced Karen to their oldest friends, who had just learned that Brown had a 21-year-old unacknowledged child. Brown is co-author of the book Birth Bond, Reunion Between Birth Parents and Adoptees. I asked Linda Brown what kind of choice it was to give her daughter up.
Back in the 60s, it really, I would say for me personally, and talking with a lot of other birth mothers, it really wasn't a choice. Because abortions were illegal, and because you just didn't come home with one of those kids back then, it really was the only choice. No one ever said to me and to other birth mothers, here's how you can keep your baby. We'll help you, you know. And certainly the families wanted to, you know, get rid of the problem, as it were. So I don't feel it was a choice. I just feel that at that time in this society, if you didn't have a ring on your finger and you got pregnant, you were going to give your baby up for adoption. And it was almost not questioned.
Later on, you married the father and
yes.
formed a family of your own.
Yeah, yeah. We had two sons after that.
Was that kind of strange, ending up marrying him?
Yeah, it felt strange off and on over the years. It was nice in many ways and good in many ways, but it was also kind of strange in the sense of the timing that, my God, you know, 3 years earlier, we probably could have gotten married, we could have raised that child. So that was kind of bizarre to now have lost her.
What had not worked out that you had to give the child up for adoption?
Well, the bottom line was that we had dated each other for several years, but that there was a religious difference. And back then, we each came from very sort of strong-willed families, and they were very much against the marriage. And I think neither he nor I was able to, we were economically dependent on our families, we were both in college, we weren't able to fight against that kind of very strong feeling. And in fact, the 3 years later when we did get married, his father still did not come to the wedding and was still against the marriage. So, but I think as we got older, that even that 3 years made a difference in terms of our independence from our families.
Mm-hmm. And how long was it before you were able to reconnect with the daughter that you had given birth to?
When she was 21, she went back to the adoption agency, and then she found that there was a letter there from me just saying that if she ever did come back, we would really like to know her and meet her. So it was 21 years before we saw her again. Actually, I never saw her. So it was 21 years before I first laid eyes on that baby.
So she was taken from you as soon as you gave birth?
Yes. Yeah. And some women, I think, who stayed in the maternity homes back then did see their babies and did hold them and did sort of have a chance to say goodbye to them. But because I stayed with relatives, the obstetrician who I was dealing with basically said, don't see this child, don't think about this child, and then you'll forget it more easily.
Do you think that was the right choice?
No. Now, again, today we know that probably that's one way to ensure that you can't resolve some loss like that by telling people they can't talk about it. It's very hard to grieve for someone when you're not supposed to even be thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So it probably wasn't the best thing.
So how did your daughter get back in touch with you?
Well, she went to the agency and spoke with a social worker, and we got very lucky because the social worker she spoke with said that, you know, I had a letter there and asked Karen, our daughter, if she would like to hear the letter. And Karen said yes. And then after hearing about the update on our family, that we had been married and had other kids, the social worker asked Karen if Karen would like the social worker to call me. And Karen said yes, she would. And the social worker just called me Thursday morning, September 6, 1984, at about 10 o'clock in the morning, and said that Karen had come to the agency.
What had gone on in her adopted family's life that that allowed her to learn this about the agency and to go on? Had she been told that she'd been adopted and at what age and that she could go back to the agency and check?
She had known she was adopted, I think, from the time she was about 3 years old when her mother got pregnant with the family's third child. And at that time, they explained to her that she was adopted. She grew up, I think, with, which I think is true maybe for many adoptees, with sort of different stories at different times in her life. The first story was that, you know, her birth parents were poor and couldn't afford to keep her and raise her, and they wanted to her to have a better life, and so they had adopted her away. As she got older, more toward adolescence, the story shifted slightly to that her parents were both college kids who were irresponsible and who had not cared enough about her to keep her. So that I suspect that probably that had to do with how her parents were feeling maybe at the time. So she grew up with a bit of a mixed feelings, I think, about us as birth parents. But she always knew she was adopted. She, when she was 13, they had to do the family tree assignment, I think, in 7th or 8th grade, and she refused to do it. She refused to sort of take on her adoptive family as her family tree family and asked to go to the agency to get some information about what she called her real family. They, of course, didn't do that back then. So she did have questions, I think, about us over some years off and on.
How did you arrange, then, your first meeting? Where was it, in a home, in a public place?
It was in Atlantic City on the boardwalk, because I had spent the time of being pregnant with Karen down there with relatives, and Karen lived near there and had grown up near there. And so my husband and I arranged to stay in a hotel for a weekend and meet her there, and we spent the whole weekend together and just frantically tried to catch up with her life and what had happened and why we had made such a decision and how we felt about that and about her family life and our family life. And it was sort of a feeling of complete joy and relief, like, oh, this is this baby, this is what she looks like, she's alive, she's looks pretty good, you know, she doesn't look real damaged or anything. That's great, I'm so glad. But also right there next to that was sort of the realization of 21 years of loss, of the loss of all of those years was right there. So it was sort of a mixture of a lot of joy and a lot of sadness too.
How did you recognize one another? Was it did you arrange to meet in a certain location? What was that instant? Was there an instant of recognition, like, yes, this is flesh and blood of ours from both sides?
Actually, there was for me, because the room that my husband and I were staying in looked out over a parking lot of the hotel, and we realized that in the morning as we looked out the window, and we knew she would be coming around 10, I think, between 10 and 11 that morning, and each car that would drive up, we would look and say, is that her? Is that her? Can you see? Can you see? And finally, I heard her laugh. And she has a laugh that's a lot like mine, I think irritating to some people. And I heard her laugh first as she got out of the car. And I said, that's Karen. That's her laugh. And it was. So, and then, of course, when I opened the hotel room door and she got off the elevator, and she looks more like my husband than my two boys do. And she looks as though she could be a twin sister of my oldest son. The resemblance is... It just about blew me away.
I get the sense that your what you've described as your post-reunion has been a fairly enriching time for you. But I get the sense also that for a lot of adoptees who go back and try to find their real parents, or their, I guess you use the term birth parents, that it's not necessarily all cakes and honey. It doesn't work out sometimes. And I wonder what happens.
Well, it certainly hasn't been all honey with us. I think Karen and I have a very strong commitment to making a relationship work, and not in the sense of forcing ourselves to have a relationship that neither of us wants, but in the sense that I think we both realized that this was going to be hard work. And I think the reason why it has been hard for us, even though it's good, basically, is because of the original situation that adoptees and birth mothers were in. That is, I think it's really hard for an adopted person to deal with the fact that here's a woman who gave them away. And I think it's very hard for a birth mother to look at this child and try to deal with all the guilt and all the pain and all the loss that she's, you know, that she did to herself and in some ways to the child over the years. I think there's just so much loss and so much grief that some people push the person away who reminds them of all of that. To go into a reunion and to have try to have a relationship in adoption as adults, both I think the adoptee and the birth parent need to be in some kind of support group for adoptees and birth parents and adoptive parents, and to be ready to deal with a lot of the pain that's going to come up, because it's built on such old pain, these relationships. One of the things we found in Birth Bond is that the majority of the mothers and the sons and daughters, you know, had good relationships, but they were mixed in the sense that there were problems. It's sort of like they were happy in spite of the pain. In a very few cases, the pain was the greater part of the relationship. And in very few, maybe one or two cases, the joy was pretty pure.
Well, I want to thank you very much for coming in and talking with us on Fresh Air today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Linda Brown, author of Birth Bond, Reunions Between Birth Parents and Adoptees.